lost to ignorance and confusion, three men arose from humble beginnings with a message of wisdom and hope for their troubled times. Three men who would eventually change the very face of humanity.
But they fell off a cliff. So, here are some other guys.
It's Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil.
And good evening and welcome to Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil for show number, are you ready? 177.
That's Woo! A lot of shows, baby.
Yeah, broadcasting to you live on CJRU 1280 AM in Toronto, Canada. And we are streaming to you live on the web at songtalk.ca/live-stream. Don't worry about writing it down. You know it. Song Talk Radio is the show with songwriters talking to other songwriters about the craft of songwriting. And brand new songwriters, we have established professionals, and we share tips, techniques, but never toothbrushes. And we're going to share at least three cool things tonight, and hopefully we'll learn a little bit more about writing songs. I'm your host, Bruce Harrett, and joining me tonight, as always, the intrepid members of the Song Talk Radio Action Team. They are Mr. Phil Emery.
That's me.
On the board tonight, and Mr. Neil Modi.
Hey, what's happening?
And on social media, we have Hema.
Hema's here tonight.
Standing in for Vanessa. Wave to the camera, Hema. You put your hand there. Yeah. People like that at home. And Stephen's here, too. I'll get to him in a moment. During the show, you can send your comments and questions to @SongTalkRadio on Twitter, and we're going to share them with our audience in real time. And please stop by our website, that's songtalk.ca, and find out how you could be a guest on our show. We're booking for October now, right?
Something like that.
That's right.
Tonight, in honor of Pride Month here in Toronto.
Happy Pride, everyone.
Happy Pride. It's Pride Month, and coming up, Pride Weekend coming up. Each of us have chosen a song about the gay experience to share with you. We also have a special guest tonight for his third time on the show. He's a writer, a librettist, a lyricist, and he's a hell of a guy, my good friend Stephen Witkin.
Yay!
Welcome back.
Nice to have you back, Stephen.
So,
speaking of gay experiences.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Stephen is one of my best gay experiences I've ever had. Just for transparency, Stephen and I are gay. He came out at what, 12? No, 21?
In my early 20s,
Early 20s. I came out at 31.
Although I knew when I was 7.
And Neil, you and Phil haven't come out at all.
No, they're not likely to either.
So we have. I've come out as a Star Trek fan, which is
Star Wars for me.
Yeah, that's not
Star
easy.
Wars.
That's not easy.
So, that's a show.
Stephen.
Hi.
How have you been? How's Los Angeles? Are you catching Pride in Los Angeles, or is that...
No, I missed it. I don't seem to catch Pride anywhere.
Oh, okay.
Well, I only marched once in my whole life, actually.
When was that?
Ooh, in New York, Stonewall. I don't remember where it was, but wow, it was life-changing.
Big.
Oh, huge.
Wow.
Yeah.
What year was that? Do you remember?
I think late 80s.
Wow.
I'm thinking, because it was Stonewall 25 anniversary, and I remember I saw Barbara Streisand, Liza Minnelli, and Judy Garland. Not Judy Garland. Oops, sorry, Judy. And Bette Midler, all in one weekend.
Wow.
You don't get any gayer than that boy.
Yeah. There you go.
Liberace.
Yeah, well, we've got our Gay Pride weekend this weekend. Sunday is the parade, the big parade.
And Toronto has one of the biggest ones, if not the biggest one.
Yeah, like it's very popular.
Anywhere.
Is it bigger? It's not bigger than San Francisco, is it?
Well, apparently in terms of its audience, it is.
Oh, really? That's
great. Don't quote me on that. Mm-hmm. I know that it is the biggest draw in the entire year in Toronto.
People actually take vacations to come here for two or three weeks from all over America.
It's warm. I am so moved by all the rainbow flags and rainbow finalia
around
the city. It's amazing when you think of all the places where this you'd never think of this. In fact, on my way down from my cottage, I filled up at a gas station near Muskoka, and there was a rainbow flag in the gas station, like way up, waving over the parking lot.
That's great. Wow. Yay.
I wonder if they know what it means.
Yeah, I wonder. It's a pot of gold at the bottom of it.
Yeah.
Well, we've got quite a range of songs tonight, everything from 1983 to 2017, tunes.
But, you know, one thing we should be, because we will get email about this, is that we have to admit, we have to talk about possibly the first Canadian kind of gay song, which was High School Confidential by
Carol Pope and Rough Trade.
Yeah, Carol Pope and Ken Staples, 1980, Rough Trade. Yeah. And that's an interesting song because it's very, very subtle the way she handled the lyrics. And it was very conscious on her part. she wanted other lesbians to know what she was talking about, but she didn't want to make it so confrontational. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be an interesting point, because there's other artists who actually did want to make the message of their song confrontational a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a great song.
Yeah,
it's
High School Confidential. Yeah,
listen. And of course, that being said, like the songs that we've picked tonight are the songs that we picked, and surely there are many others out there.
Don't call me Shirley.
Yeah. But I'm ching.
For
those of us that are listening, please tweet us in and let us know what...
what are your favorite songs?
Your favorite songs about Shirley. The gay experience?
Yeah, well, no, our listeners are welcome. You can tweet or email and tell us about any song that has special meaning for you around Pride, lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans, queer.
Just a little tidbit. I don't know if I've this time for this, but you know the song Strangers in the Night, Frank Sinatra?
Mm-hmm.
That was banned in, I think, the 60s because people thought it had another meaning, that it was guys meeting in the dark in the night. Strangers in the night, exchanging glances. It was banned from the radio.
Really?
Yeah.
Did not
Talk
know
about
that.
Frank Sinatra wasn't gay.
No, probably had no idea.
No. Okay. Well, that's interesting.
Obviously, the people actually who were listening to it probably were and just sort of thought, oh, no.
So we're going to get started on the musical history here. We're going to go back to 1983, and there was a musical put on Broadway called La Cage aux Folles, and that was based on the play. They couldn't get the rights to the movie, apparently, but it was originally a play, a French play, called La Cage aux Folles, which means the bird in the cage, I think.
Birds of a feather flock together.
Oh, okay. Anyway, this song was called I Am What I Am. It's sung here by Gloria Gaynor. It comes from 1983, and Jerry Herman, one of the, I say, Broadway gods, he wrote Mame and Hello, Dolly. He joined this with Harvey Fierstein and... Who else? That was it.
Yeah,
him and Harvey.
Great.
Harvey wrote the book, a gay icon himself. So let's have a listen. This is I Am What I Am with Gloria Gaynor.
And it's not a place I have to hide in. Life's not worth a damn till you can say I am what I am.
And that is I Am What I Am, Gloria Gaynor singing a song written by Jerry Herman back in 1983 for the Broadway musical La Cage aux Folles. I chose that song. That's my choice because I like the message in it. And the lyrics were fun about see things from a different angle.
I like that line.
I deal my own deck, sometimes the aces, sometimes the deuces. Mm. Very ordinary language, no return, no deposits, time to open up your closet.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very much a Broadway song in the sense of just right out there. And the musical was right out there. By the way, George Aubin, who played the role on Broadway, got a Tony for his performance that year. And one other thing I should say before we move on is that was a dance mix version of the song in the Broadway show. Mm. It did not have that funky beat happening.
Okay. But no. I've never seen the musical, but I'm just curious if you've seen the musical, Stephen, probably you're aware. Is this a moment in the musical where the character singing the song is actually coming out?
End of Act One. It's the showstopper. End of Act One. You know.
Okay. So who is singing this? Because
The guy who's the transvestite, okay. who's a the
he's
performer.
A popular drag queen entertainer, and he has a son. It's a farce, actually, like a French farce.
Yeah.
And at the end of the So what was important was this became actually a gay anthem at the time because there was no other real song at the time that really was out there and says this is who I am. I mean, in a way, Lady Gaga, Born This Way.
I'm just thinking that.
You know,
yeah.
Now we've got that. So this was the first version of saying, hey, this is who I am.
What was happening was the son was getting married and the husband of the drag queen's son was getting married and he asked her to him to tone it down. We're going to have to tone it down.
Oh, yes.
And the end of Act One, he's like, no, I am not.
I am. Right.
And
okay.
It was really like a showstopper, apparently.
And
the whole shtick was,
he had to pretend he was straight because the in-laws were coming. So
right.
it was Robin Williams and Nathan Lane in the movie.
In the movie, it's great. It's a lot of fun.
Right. Yeah.
The Birdcage.
So the Birdcage, right, of course. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, so that's the English version.
Birdcage basically the same thing? Is there any changes from Lacroix du Fall?
They just anglicized it. I mean, it was still set in France, right? They just put it in the English language.
They put it in South Beach.
Was it in South Beach? Oh, okay, sorry, yeah. So it was very similar to the original French. The French movie is great, La Cage aux Folles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we want to go back to see that source material as well.
Yeah, or the Birdcage is actually really good with Robin Williams, and Nathan Lane does an amazing job.
But you know what's amazing? At the time, first of all, some interesting observations, because I was in New York, you know, when it was happening. There was no bedroom door in the set. It was all literal. It was a time when anybody saw drag queens that was like, oh, look, a funny man in a dress, and didn't really necessarily equate drag to gay or any of that stuff.
Okay. Right.
Like, a lot of people just thought Liberace was the world's greatest showman, didn't know, you know, everything he was up to. Thank you very much. So there was no bedroom door in the set. There was nothing literal. I don't even know if they kissed, to tell you the truth. Kind of like early versions of Will and Grace.
Very safe.
In fact, I remember actually the movie because at one point they're talking about, you know, because the drag queen's kind of very flamboyant and, you know, has decided that he's going to die because his heart's broken so much. And his husband saying, you know, basically, well, you know, I'm going to have to move my plot to this crappy place because this is where you want to die, and you know, I can't bear to be apart from you. Yeah. And at that point, you think they would kiss, but they don't in the movie. And I remember it feeling really kind of false. That was the only thing.
Mm-hmm. That was appealing to an audience because it was about a romance, and it didn't matter if it was a man and woman or two men. And what I thought was wonderful at the time that it came out was you had all these housewives, you know, who came in from the burbs, all applauding and cheering and giving a standing ovation to two men in love. And that was a turning point.
And to your point, Phil, I mean, the history of having gays depicted in mainstream media is that they cannot be really very gay, right? And that taboo has been broken now on television where they're kissing, they're in bed, everything's happening.
Yeah,
right?
No, it's great. Yeah.
So it's changed a lot and it's now more real.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, well, I mean, Modern Family does a great job with that.
Yeah, they
you
do
know?
A fantastic job.
And it's the best couple there is actually the gay couple. They just seem, you know.
We have to move on.
That's true.
It's you, Phil.
That's
and
right.
It's 1984.
1984.
And you were impressed by this band called?
The Bronski Beat. The Bronski Beat was actually Jimmy Somerville, Larry Steinbeck, and Steve Bronski. And what they wanted to do is they really felt at the time that a lot of the gay performers were being very subtle in their message.
Mm-hmm.
So this is 1984. So, I mean, things were actually still surprisingly repressed, even though most men had lots of hair gel and, you know, wore mascara.
I think Maggie Thatcher was in power, though, and Reagan over here.
Right? Yeah. But, of course, in 84, I mean, I had, like, long earrings and mascara and the whole thing, because that's what
George.
You did. Yeah, Boy George. Mm-hmm. But the Bronski Beat really talked about issues that affected the gay youth actually in Britain. One of their big hits on the dance floor was called Tell Me Why, and which actually talks about gay bashing. And actually has a phrase, you know, disgust in your eyes as I turn to kiss his lips, which is really, really in the face. Like, it's not like High School Confidential or, you know, this is actually talking about stuff really, really sort of on the surface.
This is another one of Bronski Beat songs you're talking about?
Yeah. Okay. This was actually their first hit. Let's see. It actually got into the top 10 in North America. which is pretty surprising. So the song addresses key issues in 1980s LGBT culture. It addresses family rejection for being homosexual and homophobia in British society. It also deals with loneliness and bullying through the societal and family rejection. And there's a really great video actually about it, which actually really speaks very plainly to it. It's not a glamorous video at all, but it shows, you know, this guy sort of basically at a pool, and he sees this guy that he's, you know, sort of taken with, and the guy actually kind of flirts with him a bit, and then, you know, it goes on from there. A wonderful video.
Is that probably on YouTube still then?
Yes.
Well, absolutely. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Let's hear the tune.
All right. This will be
Miss Bronski Beat with Small Town Boy, featuring Jimmy Somerville, who went on to his own solo career after that.
Simply Red.
No.
That wasn't Jimmy Somerville?
I don't think so. Small Town Boy with Bronski Beat featuring Jimmy Somerville from 1984. That was Phil's pick tonight on a special show, Pride Month themed show, and we're talking about all the songs that meant something to us. So, Phil, what was it about that tune in terms of its story? Was it the video that caught your eye first?
Well,
84
was
all about video.
Well, I mean, it was the whole thing. I mean, Bronski Beat really came out and was very sort of in your face about gay relationships, and in a way that no one else was. Mm. And, you know, there was, don't forget, there was also, you know, Take a Walk in the Wild Side, which was written by Lou Reed, which is back in the 70s.
Is Bronski Beat American or British?
Is British.
British, British, yeah.
Because Lou Reed was actually a bisexual and actually dated a trans person for a while. And that's what Take a Walk on the Wild Side, but again, it was very subtle and sort of very buried. And Bronski Beat stuff was really, really apparent. And I had some gay friends, and they really identified with this song because it was really it wasn't subtle. They were talking about the issues that they had to deal with. And it was just in a very kind of upfront way, you know?
It was very liberating. And the clubs at the time, remember, I don't know if you remember, Stephen, but dance clubs were huge through the 70s and 80s. And the biggest dance clubs and the best dance clubs were gay dance clubs in New York and in L.A. and here in Toronto.
I just had a craving to do poppers.
Yeah. Well,
the Diamond Club at Isabel and Young, that was a great one.
Yeah. And but the thing was that finally there was music
was
in these
Oz.
Gay clubs that was speaking to gay people. And really we had been listening to mostly like black soul queen women singing about losing their man, right? I mean, that's what you dance to. And suddenly there were these artists talking about our lives, which was really a shift, you know?
Well, what's great about this stuff is the dance, when you went to dance clubs, they actually had music that was really great songs in and of themselves that you could dance to. Mm-hmm. Like the alternative music, most of the stuff you actually could dance to. And I remember a girlfriend of mine that I was going with at one point, when the grunge came in, you know, she was saying, well, you can't dance to this stuff anymore. Mm. And going to the clubs was so great because some of this stuff was designed to be heard through a club sound system. And like that bass line and the snare was just great.
Yeah. And there's a very tribal sexual beat to it, a rhythm.
Yeah.
And a lot of other music, all you can do is just jump up and down, hop it up and down. Mm. But
what
this
was
stuff
that
was
club?
Very sexy.
What was that club in New York that you took me to that was like the size of a warehouse with six different stages all over?
It was probably Palladium.
Palladium,
yeah.
And then there's that one you took to me that was so loud, my chest was vibrating.
My fillings fell out, I think.
No, they were loud in those days. The music was produced for dance. They were produced for these sound systems, and the whole DJ culture was coming up.
Well, they still have the White Party, you know, it's called the White Party, and then it's in Palm Springs and all over the world pretty well. And a lot of holdovers that were still around from the 60s, 70s, 80s, all the way up there, get all dressed in white, and thousands and thousands of men show up, and dance and jump around, take their shirts off. Everybody's
it's
buff.
It's a gay celebration.
It's not my thing.
Social thing.
But what I remember, because I was a big in New York, I went to the dance clubs for like 15 years. Wow.
That's why he can't hear now?
That's right. I'm not kidding. I was waiting for my coat and the speaker. I was standing next to a speaker for 40 minutes waiting for my coat at 4 in the morning. And I couldn't hear. My ears were ringing for about a week pretty well. So I think I did do some damage.
Probably, yeah.
But it's very tribal kind of stuff. And
what do you think, Neil?
Yeah, I mean, I remember this song from when I was a kid. Of course, at the time, I was like 9 years old. I didn't really understand the meaning of it necessarily.
Yeah, yeah.
But listening to it now, it's actually interesting that it is kind of open enough that anyone kind of experiencing bullying for any kind of reason could identify with it, which is really
true.
Kind of open and universal. But at the same time, especially the second verse, "Mother will never understand why you had to leave home." Or the answers you seek will never found at home, because that is typical of
it's
reason
ambiguous.
Why you get thrown out of the house, right?
I mean, it's ambiguous. Unless you saw the video, you wouldn't know necessarily this was about a gay guy, right?
Yeah.
So, but as I say, back in the 80s, everything was driven by video, right? Like the videos were huge.
That was the birth
was
of
huge.
Video.
Yeah. We're going to move along to Neil's choice tonight, and you've chosen a fairly recent song. This is from 2015.
Yes.
And how did you run across this song?
So this was interesting the way that I found it, actually, because I became a fan of a singer-songwriter named Ingrid Michaelson. And I thought, that's certainly not her stage name, because that must be her real name, Ingrid Michaelson. She completely owned it, right?
All right.
I believe she's from New York, if I'm not mistaken. Mm. And Greg Holden, who's the writer of this song that I picked, Boys in the Street, was actually an opening act at one of her shows or at one of her tours. And she actually included this song of his on her CD. Which was kind of like, I've never seen that before, where an artist includes
sung by him,
sung by her opening act.
Oh,
you know,
cool.
Which I thought was kind of remarkable and quite generous. And so Greg Holden is a singer songwriter, and he is straight, but he was actually requested to do this song by an organization, the founders of Everyone Is Gay. An organization that supports LGBTQ youth. They actually asked him to contribute a song to a fundraiser compilation, the gayest compilation ever made, part two. And he said there were no instructions, only that the song touch upon sexuality or gender identity in some way. And so he explored his own past relationship with his father and came up with this this touching song.
Hmm. Okay.
Let's go, Boys in the Street.
That is a good context. Really, really. young, my daddy told me I would never, never amount to nothing special. He come at me from every angle. He'd say, you're the last thing I wanted, the last thing I need. How am I gonna answer when my friends tell me my son was kissing boys in the street? My son was kissing boys in the street. He tried to change me, say I'm embarrassing my country. How could I do this to my family? Do I wanna grow up being lonely? He'd say, we've worked for our money, we've put you in school. Is this how you repay us? Do you think this is cool, my son? Stop kissing boys in the street. My son, stop kissing boys in the street. Now that I'm older, my daddy's heart's a little warmer, but he still won't hug me like my brother, and he still won't kiss me like my mother. He'd say, you were part of this family, I made you myself, but the way that you act isn't good for your health, my son. Stop kissing boys in the street. My son, stop kissing boys in the street. He's finally realized I'm not lying. We sit in silence but we're smiling, because for once we are not fighting. He'd say, there was no way of knowing, 'cause all I was taught is men only love women. But now I'm not sure, my son. Keep kissing boys in the street. My son, keep kissing boys in the street. When I'm gone, keep kissing boys in the street.
And that was Kissing. That was Boys in the Street, Greg Holden. What a beautiful song. And Neil, just want to catch us up on
what we're doing here
now? Yeah.
Yes. For those of you just joining us, you are listening to Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil on CJRU 1280 AM. And tonight, it's our Pride Show special. Don't forget, we love to hear from you. So tweet in your thoughts to us at Song Talk Radio via email at feedback@songtalk.ca. We'll share your thoughts in real time. And you can find links to all the products, books, and web services we mention on Song Talk Radio on our resources page, songtalk.ca/resources. And coming up, I know you're all wondering, on Song Talk Radio in the coming weeks, June 27th, we have Jennifer Perez. On July 4th, we have Rachel Raddatz. And on July 11th, we have Randy Shook. So three singer-songwriters
shaking
coming up.
All over.
Shaking all over. Yeah. And if you're in the Toronto area, please join us at our next songwriters meetup. That's going to be tomorrow.
Yes.
Unless you're listening to this on podcast next week, in which case it was last week.
Okay.
Wednesday, June the 21st from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Transat Club. If you want to share a song, get there by 6:30 because it does fill up fast. And we have a sign-up list, sort of like an open mic.
And Bruce will be hosting.
Bruce will be hosting. Mm. And it's free to join on meetup and free to attend the songwriters meetup. Stop by songtalk.ca/meetup for all the details.
Thank you very much, Neil.
You're welcome.
And Steve and I heard that way back when you had a little problem with Kissing Boys in the Park.
Oh, yes. Way back when, I think it was...
70s?
The 1970s. It was Ontario Place, and couples were going to...
For our listeners who don't know, that's a public park near on the waterfront here in Toronto. Mm-hmm. Public park.
Used to be around.
Lots of grass and trees and stuff. What were you doing?
Making out on the grass.
With a guy.
And there were about 10 other couples. It was like a dark area. And we were just kind of rolling around and making out.
So wait, the other couples were heterosexual. And you were the one gay couple.
Heterosexual couples, and we were one gay couple. And suddenly a security guard came over and escorted us off the grounds. We were kicked out of Ontario Place for kissing.
Boys in the street.
Kissing in the park.
Oh, wow.
In
amazing.
Public, et cetera.
So that was the 70s. That's what it was like.
And you know what was odd when I think about it? Because I hadn't thought about it in decades. The fact that at the time, in a way, it made sense because you just didn't do that. So it's like, well, no wonder we're being kicked out. Ironically, I had laryngitis. I couldn't talk at all, so I couldn't talk back to him and go, what do you mean? Blah, 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 blah. There's other people doing it. I couldn't say a word, but I remember that. I just want to say how much I love this song. I think it's, first of all, you know, being a theater guy, it has a beginning, middle, and an end.
Uh-huh.
It's like a little three-act play right
yes.
here. And, you know, what struck me, it's not just... My son was kissing boys. It's my son was kissing boys in the street, which is almost an act of defiance, and it's a real acceptance of yourself. And that his father, you know, it's one thing to go, the three stages, my son is gay, my son is kissing, it's kind of literal, and then there's kissing in the street.
Right,
so,
right.
And that's
a good point.
And yeah. obviously the parents' shame, you know, if any, like what's in the lyric, that other people might see such a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And his turnaround is just beautiful.
And in many parts of North America, it's still embarrassing to some parents to have
a
gay or lesbian
world,
child. Many parts of the world, it's against the law. So we've got a long way to go. And it's something that during Pride Month, there'll be a lot of focus on and this week of all the people from around the world who are now, the Canadian government is actually allowing gay couples from Afghanistan, Iran, and Saudi Arabia to apply based on humanitarian grounds to come here and live.
And I know that in Toronto during Pride, a lot of, quote, small town boys, just like that song, who don't fit in their small towns, all come to Toronto to be I am what I am.
And for myself, when I first heard this song, it was just kind of randomly because I was listening to Ingrid Michaelson's album. And I'm like, what is this? Who's this guy? And I just heard the song and it just kind of floored me how kind of emotionally powerful it was. Because I think anyone who's ever been in a situation where they're not accepted, especially by their parents for whatever, at any given point, can identify with it. Right? It's kind of like the Bronski Beat song in that way, that it's very open to anyone's experience.
And it's too bad that it took him to be on his deathbed to come around and realize.
I suppose that is the thing.
But people often try forgiveness at that point. Or
right.
Well, I think one of the things that I've had to face in life is that, you know, when I came out, I had several years to internalize it. And not just to understand it and seek to understand it. And then when you announce it to a parent, they've had no time to understand it. And naturally, they're taken aback. And it's just not in their language. Like when my parents, well, my dad's 93 now, and my mother's passed away. Mm-hmm. In their childhood, it did not exist. It was like, that is not even on our radar,
it's
right?
It's not part of the vocabulary.
So I think one of the big things in the gay community, and this was parents, PFLAG, Parents and Friends of Lesbians and Gays, these parents got together and tried to help other parents of lesbians and gays to understand what they were going to go through and support them in it. Mm-hmm. Because the gay and lesbian, we had to learn to understand our parents, too, that just because we wanted to liberate ourselves didn't mean that it was easy for them. Right?
Of course,
we have to have compassion for them.
I had the exact same experience. Maybe it's because we're the same age and our parents were of the same generation. And I had a tough coming out with my mother, and I'll never forget, because I always tell young gay people this too. She said, you have to forgive me, I just don't understand, my generation, we just don't get it, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to, you know, forgive myself that I had to accept the fact she couldn't get it,
Yeah, and live with that.
Yeah. Right. And I was living in New York at the time where I was running, we're queer, we're here, get over it, we're loud, we're proud, you know, and here's people that just don't get it.
We didn't want to have a show without one lesbian singer, writer, and there are two, actually, on this next tune called Boyfriend. This is a recent tune come out in 2016 on their album Love You to Death. This is Tegan and Sarah.
Canadian, too.
They're Canadian, too. That's correct. They are both, they're identical twins from Calgary, Alberta. They're lesbians. They once won the Outstanding Music Artist at the GLAAD Media Awards, beating out Lady Gaga and Elton John. They have a presence on the music scene. this is funny. They partnered with Cool House, an ice cream sandwich truck, to make a sandwich featuring double chocolate cookies and salted caramel ice cream called Till Death Do Us Part in favor of marriage equality for lesbians. Okay, that's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
So here they are. This is Tegan and Sarah with their song Boyfriend.
Tell you that I love you, that I can't hold back. The feeling that you give me, wanna give it right back. I know you always win at this particular game. I need to know the rules if you want me to play. Cause I can't relax. Oh, when I get around you, I can't hide the fact. I let you take advantage, cause it felt so good. I blame myself for thinking we both understood.
Okay, that was Tegan and Sarah with Boyfriend. A shout out to Vanessa Vreeland, who is our regular media specialist here, social media. She found that song, and thank you for that. I also want to say to you that you should know that Tegan and Sarah, was dating a bisexual woman who had never dated another woman and was still also dating a man. Ooh, two timing. And that's where Boyfriend came from. So, very cool song. Lots of fun. What'd you think, guys?
Yeah, no, it's
super catchy.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting such kind of a good tune. Actually, you know, yeah, I wasn't quite sure what to expect, but it's
you
a great
said
tune.
It was in the style of Madonna.
It sounded
from the 80s.
Like kind of Madonna esque. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I I think
even
they sort
voice.
Of came out of that way. I mean, they're certainly a very pop oriented band, but it's interesting. It's if you pay attention to the lyrics, you know, you'd know what they were talking about, but. You know, it's not quite as blatant.
Yeah.
The Lorraine Segato of Parachute Club, which we probably should have mentioned at one point as well, because they were, you know, a very big part of the gay community, although they never really came out and talked about it too in your face. They said about, you know, we should be free to love who we want, and women's time is now.
They had that song Rise Up.
Rise Up. But, yeah, but again,
that
but
was
it wasn't.
Like, that was at the same time, like 1984 or
yeah,
5,
but,
something.
Yeah, but you know, it's interesting. Yeah. They didn't actually sort of say specifically, yeah, it was just, it was Rise
it was,
Up.
It was kind of generic.
Whereas Lorraine Scotto actually was in a band before that called Mama Kia 2 or Mama Kia 3. And actually one of the songs, because I remember hearing it, was called People Call Me a Dyke, But I Just Do What I Want. Which I always thought was really cool because, like, no one at the time, it was that blatant. I mean, yeah. That was just so in your face. I think they were very much.
I was thinking they should use Rise Up for, like, a Cialis commercial.
Well, so that's actually an interesting question. Like I'm sure over the decades there has been a large underground culture that's not out on the pop charts, right?
Yeah.
Like, Tegan and Sarah are immensely popular.
Yeah. Right. Well, that's a sign of the times, really, that out gay and out lesbian performers are totally accepted in the music scene now. Mm-hmm. And even, well, is it, who's the guy, the black artist, Frank Ocean? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Frank Ocean came out. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, it's okay, and George Michael came out, and may he rest. But I also want to mention that there's a third songwriter on that Tegan and Sarah song. It's Greg Kirsten. So it says Greg Kirsten, Sarah Kirsten Quinn, and Tegan Rain Quinn. So anyway, I wanted to make sure that Greg got a shout out there for that tune. Great tune.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, very, very, you know, and, you know, like a 3-minute song.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that this kind of dancey poppiness that, I don't know, you guys think that kind of maybe robs the gravity of the issue if you're kind of dealing with a heavy issue? Does the song need to be that heavy-handed? Because this is not very heavy-handed, you know?
Because I think when you do really heavy stuff, it actually turns people off and it becomes self-indulgent. And I think if you have like a light thing, you can pull people along, you know, as opposed to kind of...
You know what it reminds me of, Phil, and you'll remember this, maybe Stephen, is my boyfriend's back and there's going to be trouble. You know, all these songs about boyfriend. And I think that's the spirit she was having in it. Like, it's like, yes, it's romantic triangle. It's lots of stuff going on, but it's not overlaid with political stuff. It's just a situation between three people.
I mean, I have to admit, that's one of the things that, you know, the previous song, it didn't hit me as much because it was so...
A little heavy-handed.
It was so heavy-handed, and it was a little bit sort of...
Which one?
You know, there was no...
Boys in the Street?
There wasn't a lot of subtlety to it. And, you know, I think you can... I mean, it's... And I think there's maybe a point. There's a purpose for each kind of song. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes I prefer stuff that's maybe a little more subtle.
Well, it's interesting. This works on two levels. Before I knew the context, You Treat Me Like Your Boyfriend did sound kind of like political, like I'm not a guy... But as soon as I heard the context, it becomes very personal and has a whole other whole other meaning. You treat me like your boyfriend, not like you treat me like my boyfriend.
You were in New York for 13 years. Now you've been in Los Angeles for about 12 or 13, right? Is there an equal stand in terms of the music scene for lesbians? Because it seems a lot of gay men artists are out there and loud and proud. Have you found the lesbians are matching that?
I'm assuming so. I mean, L.A. is more of a music scene than New York. L.A. is a huge music scene. But I'm not, to be honest, plugged into lesbian music pretty well. So I really, except from Lilith Fair or something, I don't know what...
Women's music. But anyway, I think what the breakthrough for Tegan and Sarah is that they are so... They've turned the whole idea. What is a lesbian? I mean, it's so such a range. The same
course,
as
yes.
who's gay,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Everybody, every kind of person, right? So you've got these poppy girls, and then you've got Katie Lang. You know, who's a little more serious ballad singer, right?
Yes.
And so anyway, we got to move along here. We're going to come to our final song here on the show, and it's from 2017. And Stephen Witkin brought this in. From an L.A., I guess he's an L.A.-based singer-songwriter named Josh...
Hat Lieberman.
There you go. Tell us about it.
Well, I know Josh very, very well. We were actually roommates for about a year or so. So what was interesting was I watched the birth of this song and other songs through, you know, a crush he was going through that we all go through. He's a Renaissance man, I would think. He's a brilliant storyboard artist. And he taught himself ukulele, self-taught, and he composed like on a ukulele. And he's made this album called Songs About a Guy, and this is called I'm Gonna Make Him Fall in Love with Me. And like I say, I watched him kind of It was interesting to see where a song actually comes from, autobiographical,
usually
and how
pain.
You feel. The pain. Mm-hmm. And this is how we expressed it. Some people, you know, will write a poem. Some people will beat the crap out of somebody. he wrote this song. In fact, he wrote four or five songs about this one particular person.
Oh, okay. An obsession. So here's I'm Gonna Make Him Fall in Love with Me, written by Josh Lieberman.
I am, yes, I am. If you don't like me, that's fine. I know you'll love me in time. I'm good at changing their minds. I know that you will be mine. If I just wait a little bit, I'm gonna make him fall in love with me. Yes, I am, yes, I am. And I'm gonna give him all my love until he can't breathe, he can't breathe. He's gonna suffocate, suffocate. Boy, you're gonna suffocate. Why? Because I'm gonna give him all my love until he can't breathe, he can't breathe. Oh, oh, no, 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 no. Oh, no, 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 no. If you won't kiss me, that's cool. I'm good just chilling with you. At the end of the day, we're both dudes. Soon we will do what do do. If I just wait a little bit longer, I'm gonna make him fall in love with me. Yes, I am, yes, I am. And I'm gonna give him all my love until he can't breathe, he can't breathe. He's gonna suffocate, suffocate. Boy, you're gonna suffocate. Why? Because I'm gonna give him all my love until he can't breathe, he can't breathe. Oh, 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 no, 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 no. Oh, no, 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 no. And I don't claim to know a lot about this wild world, but I've never been more sure about. If you don't like me, that's fine. I know you're gonna love me. I'm gonna make him fall in love with me. Yes, I am, yes, I am. I'm gonna give him all my love until he can't breathe, he can't breathe. He's gonna suffocate, suffocate. Boy, you're gonna suffocate. Why? Because I'm gonna give him all my love until he can't breathe, he can't breathe. Oh boy. Oh no, 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 no. Oh no, 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 no. Oh no, 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 no. Oh no, 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 no. Oh no, 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 no. Oh no, 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 no. Oh no, 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 no. Oh no, 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 no.
And that was I'm Gonna Make Him Fall in Love with Me, written by Josh Hat Lieberman, off his first track off his EP, Songs About a Guy. And that was released in June 2017. It's available now on iTunes. Oh, June 27. That's right now. Available.
That's like
on
really new.
It's fresh off
it's
the
got that fresh
press.
Song smell.
Anyway, it's available on iTunes and Spotify. Stephen.
Talk about up to date.
Yeah.
You know, that's what's interesting, to go from Jerry Herman from that. And the reason that I chose this, and I'm a big fan of Josh and this song and his music, I mean, it's right on the nose. I'm going to make him fall in love with me, sung by a man, you know. And, and the lyric of, at the end of the day, we're both dudes. Soon we will do what dudes do. Unfortunately, they never did. But it's right in your face. It's right out there. And I think that's what, so to speak, and that's, I think, how far we've come. And
I'm not a specialist in same-sex relationships, but I think in general, sort of threatening to suffocate someone with your love probably is not the best approach.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because, here's where we get a little edgy. What do you think that means, that lyric, I'm going to suffocate and give him all my love until he can't
trying
breathe.
Too hard. And being in the other guy's face, and the guy just wants a little space, and you go, no, I want to call you every day.
Well, that's on one level. I asked him about that, and apparently he was into being choked, person.
Oh, yes.
Am I allowed to say that?
Oh, well, let's not go into detail.
You are now.
Okay. No, but it was really interesting of going, because that's what I thought, and that's why. And then
I think it's metaphorical.
Talk about 2017.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
But there's got to be a double meaning there, because the enmeshment he's talking about is when someone's desperately, and they're just trying so hard, and you're going in the early stages, oh my God, this is going to get worse and worse. It's going to be turned into stalking, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I turned it into a work of art, four songs about this one unrequited love, this relationship that so many of us...
It's the same thing it's similar with the Tegan and Sarah. When you know the context and you know what the songwriter meant, then it becomes clear what the songwriter meant. But but left to your own devices, how do you interpret
Quite
that?
Little anecdote. He used to do vocal warm-ups when he was going to do these tracks, et cetera. And so he didn't disturb other people in the building. He would go in my closet, in the bedroom closet, and do all his vocal warm-ups for about 20 minutes or half an hour. And apparently he did lock himself in the closet for about an hour and a half one day when I was not home.
Oh, jeez.
Because the door got stuck.
And so then, he had to keep coming out of the closet for weeks.
It was so ironic. Finally he got out, but talk about, a metaphor. That's not even a metaphor.
Just shows how dangerous the closet can be.
That's right.
Wow, it's a lonely
place. Poke your eye out with a hanger.
And were you saying, Stephen, that his entire album has a kind of similar theme?
The theme is all about this one particular...
The one particular person.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Wow. I wonder how that one particular person feels about this.
Yeah.
Oh, tell him about the anecdote, because Josh did a gig, and the guy showed up at the gig.
Uh-huh. Oh, really?
Right?
I think he was supposed to show up, but he didn't.
Okay, let's make it... It's funnier if he did.
He showed up and he threw things at him. Right?
No,
he wrote another five songs about that.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't matter whether you're gay, straight, or whatever. You're going to find material in your love relationships, your dating, your close relationships, because that's where all the emotions come up. And I think what I liked about it was the irony of a guy saying, admitting in a song that he's going after someone too strongly. I'm going to make...
Yeah.
I mean, it's ironic. He knows that you shouldn't be making someone fall in love with him, which you can't, right? Although many songs in the 40s... what's that song? I'm going to make you love me. Yes, I will. Big Motown song. I tell you I'm not going from Dreamgirls. There is that sentiment that if I just try hard enough, this person will come around and love me.
Right? See, from guys, it's like if I fix her computer enough times or I help her move
or help her do all these things.
She's going to like me.
He took this guy out.
Just a bit of advice for you out there that doesn't work.
This guy out into the desert at the Joshua tree, like in a sleeping bag under the stars with his ukulele, and it still didn't work. So
that's not going to happen.
It's a romantic.
It's not meant to be, maybe.
Now, this is an interesting question because regardless of what kind of relationship you're in, can you get good songs out of a healthy, positive relationship?
Oh, well, you're the top, you're the Colosseum, Cole Porter, I think...
Do you mean
of love songs, I suppose. Yeah. They don't all have to be heartbreak necessarily.
I don't know, but are the best songs, broken heart songs?
Probably.
Yeah. It's an interesting question.
Well, it's always a question of drama, right? Because there has to be some kind of conflict.
Yeah,
it's true.
If there's no conflict, then, yeah.
Yeah.
maybe not as
it's
interesting.
It's just like, you have to be, don't worry, be happy. Yeah. I mean, there's room for those songs, right?
Of course. Yeah.
But you notice when you've had a heartbreak, almost every song you ever hear, it sounds like it was written just for you, right?
That is true.
Universal theme.
Whatever it is. So just to go back on those, this pattern continued, and he got a crush on someone else and like two other guys, I believe, and they're the ones that showed up on the same night, and he played.
He's a serial crusher.
Right.
Has
he met someone now, though?
No, because
this is so recent.
I thought he moved to Europe. Didn't he move to Europe or something?
He's going to Japan.
She's going to Japan.
Maybe
I'm sure he'll fall in love in Japan. There's like 100 million people there.
Keep looking, Josh. Keep looking. They're out there.
Oh, yeah. They're out there, So,
Stephen, what are you doing these days?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I just signed a contract to write a Hallmark Christmas movie, a TV movie for Hallmark.
Oh, wow.
Channel. Which would be a challenge.
Has Hallmark made movies before?
Movies. They have three channels.
They have three channels? Hallmark?
Oh my gosh.
Hallmark is a huge industry.
The Hallmark Hall of Fame was there when I was a boy.
I guess I'm not following them on Twitter.
They have about 800 Christmas movies out there.
Really?
You just have to Google Hallmark Christmas movie. The hardest thing is coming up with the title, An Angel for Christmas, An Angel Ate My Christmas, Christmas Angel.
What's yours called?
So I'm doing a 5-star Christmas.
Oh.
Okay.
Cool.
I'm doing that. I'm doing another draft of a screenplay. I've got a blog. Actually, called From Here to Epiphany.
And how do we get there?
StephenWitkin.wordpress.com.
All right.
So I've got about 30 crazy true stories of things
and
that happened.
Stephen
to me.
Is P-H-E-N?
P-H-E-N. Stephen Witkin, W-I-T-K-I-N, at WordPress.com.
Yep. We'll certainly link to that from our songtalk.ca.
Yeah. And you're up here for a bit of a visit in Halliburton to your cottage?
4 months I go to my cottage. It's my writer's retreat.
Oh, nice.
There's just one... do I have time? There's an interesting project, because you know I write musicals, a book for musicals. Well, I answered an ad on... I was in between gigs in L.A., and I answered an ad on Craigslist. This fits right into the theme of your show. And this guy was looking for a book writer for a musical that he'd written, and he'd written the book, the music, and the lyrics, and right away you know that's usually a problem if you're not a real professional. The best can't do all three. Mm. And it's a gay version of My Fair Lady and Pygmalion in a way. It's kind of a cute idea, and it takes place in West Hollywood, and instead of being judged by your accent, like in My Fair Lady or Pygmalion, you're judged on your body image. And this trainer to the stars takes this really... overweight guy and turns him into a hunk for an Oscar ball. And so I rewrote the book for him in 10 days, folks. I spent 18 years on these other shows. I rewrote it for him in 10 days. I don't know what's going to happen.
You got a Twitter in?
On one final last thought from one of our favorite tweeters, Sharon Earhart at Song Talk Radio. Hallmark, love, sadness, music. They all do go together. I send myself a nice card when I feel sad.
Thank you, Sharon.
Thanks, Sharon.
That is all the time we have on Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil. We'd like to thank our guest, Stephen Witkin.
Thank you.
Thanks for dropping by, Stephen. I'm booking in at the cottage in August, and we'll all come. Why don't we all? Send us your impressions via Twitter at Song Talk Radio. Email is feedback@songtalk.ca. Facebook and YouTube at Song Talk Radio, or the site songtalk.ca. There's no reason not to get in touch, really. You can subscribe to the Song Talk Radio podcast on iTunes at songtalk.ca/iTunes. And don't forget to sign up for our free newsletter at songtalk.ca. I finally wrote an article. I guess it'll be in the next one.
Yes.
About why I write songs. You can find links to all the products, books, web services, everything we mentioned on Song Talk Radio on our resources page at songtalk.ca/resources. A reminder again, if you're in the Toronto area, please join us at our next Songwriters Meetup. It's tomorrow, Wednesday, June 21st from 7 to 10 at the Transact Club. If you want to share a song, please get there by 6:30 to get on the list. And it's free to join the meetup and free to attend the Songwriters Meetup. Stop by songtalk.ca/meetup for all the details. Thank you, CJRU 1280, for your support.
Thanks very much.
And to you, the home listener, online or on podcast, thanks so much for being part of our family. On Twitter, you can follow Phil at...
The Phil Emery.
Neil at...
NeilMody_.com.
Bruce at Bruce Harrod, and Stephen at...
I forget.
And please stop by the website, songtalktits.ca, browse past shows, and find out how you could be one day a guest on the show.
Happy
Good
Pride.
Good night, everybody.
Happy Pride.
Happy Pride, everyone.
Keep writing songs.